What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester. I am joined today by Jacob Rude. Jacob, another tough loss for the Lakers. How you holding up?
A lot better than most fans I saw on Twitter tonight. It was a frustrating loss, but we'll get there, guys. I'm not ready to panic yet.
I thought the NBA season was only 7 games long. But
oh, well, crap, I missed that. All right, never mind. Probably should panic. Good news is we have a top 5 draft pick.
Tankathon, baby. We're coming back. That's how this whole site started.
I'm not ready to go back to Tankathon quite yet.
Yeah, no. Lakers lose another tough one, another close game to the Minnesota Timberwolves, this time 124-120. Close game throughout, pretty much. Not a lot of defense played from either side. Lakers just weren't able to make a couple plays down the stretch, a couple turnovers, bad possessions, two bad possessions in particular that really seemed to doom them. And then Jimmy Butler was en fuego from the three-point line today, hit 6 out of 7 threes. And I guess this is how the rest of the starters felt when Jimmy Butler led a team of third stringers against them in practice and beat all of them. So
I was really disappointed he didn't scream at Karl Anthony Towns a little more and just get him totally out of the game, because Towns was killing us too. This must have been what his performance with all those third stringers was like, because he was unguardable tonight.
Yeah. Except for, I think there was one possession Ingram actually did a really good job on him and blocked his shot. But yeah, he was ridiculous tonight. And shout out to Towns. I feel like every time I've watched Towns so far this year, he looks like he doesn't care to play basketball. And then tonight he was super amped up and ready to go. But that's how it goes, man. If you like the podcast, as always, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. And I am now 1-1. Jacob is the only undefeated member, I think, of Lakers Outsiders tweeting the games. But if you want to determine what our punishment's going to be for the last place member of Lakers Outsiders with the worst record, leave it in an iTunes review. Leave your idea, and we will definitely take it into consideration. And when we get to the end of the season, which surprisingly was not tonight, so everybody can relax, we will cross that bridge when we get there. But yeah, like I said, subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes and on Podbean. But if you subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review. We really, really appreciate it and helps us out a lot. So, all right, Jacob, let's dive into this 124-120 loss to the Timberwolves. Drops the Lakers to 2-5 on the season. Let's start on a positive note, because I feel like things are a little negative in Lakerland right now. So we need some positive vibes to start this podcast. What was your one most positive takeaway from tonight's game?
Brandon Ingram looked like he did not miss a beat while on his suspension. He was incredible on both ends of the floor tonight. 24 points, 50% shooting, 3 of 5 from three, and 5 rebounds, 3 blocks. You mentioned the one play on Jimmy Butler that was incredible. I'm not sure there's 5 guys who in the league who have enough length and athleticism to make that block. Ingram to me was by far the biggest positive tonight. I was a little worried starting him at the shooting guard, though I do think that's probably the lineup I would have went with. But if he's going to play like that, then I think that starting lineup should remain the same for the foreseeable future. But that was an incredible game from him tonight.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I think he was far and away the most positive takeaway from tonight. I mean, he battled foul trouble pretty much throughout the whole game, which is why he only played 25 minutes. But yeah, I mean, for most of the night, Minnesota didn't really have an answer for him. I mean, when he was hitting threes in the first half, and when he's hitting threes, he is really, really good. And it was a really nice game for Ingram. Just the foul trouble was just very it was very annoying. I tweeted that during the game that the Timberwolves didn't have an answer for Ingram, but the referees did. So,
yeah. I tweeted this after the game. Luke got fined for it. Luke's gotten 2 technicals for it this season already. The Timberwolves shot 30 free throws to the 15 from the Lakers. And, like, this isn't a Lakers team that's like some jump shooting, don't take it into the paint team. Like, they're playing fast and they want to get to the rim. And the fact that it's just so odd. Like, we just can't get calls. We get LeBron James, and then suddenly it's like we don't get superstar calls anymore. Like, it was incredibly frustrating. Towns and Josh Okogie shot 12 free throws, and we shot 15. So, I don't get it. But, yeah, that was frustrating to watch too, because – yeah, Ingram had a huge night, and it could have been bigger if he wasn't saddled with all these fouls that at times were just like, what are you calling?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really frustrating. And it seemed like, you know, and I try not to – I mean, I think all of us pretty much try not to harp on officiating too much, but it's been a weird trend for reasons like you said. I mean, the Lakers are a team that, you know, attacks the paint very often. They get a lot of shots inside. They have a LeBron James on their team. You know, they've got, you know, guys that – they can get to the bucket and can create contact, and, you know, they're just not getting to the free throw line. And, you know, on the other end, it seems like teams are getting to the free throw line pretty often. And tonight, it seemed like in the third quarter, it kept Minnesota really, I mean, it kept them close. You know, it seemed like the Lakers were starting to kind of find their groove, find their rhythm a little bit, and they couldn't pull away from Minnesota because it seemed like Minnesota was getting free throws just time and time again, every trip down the floor. And the Lakers just couldn't pull away from them because of that. And then, you know, the game stays close, and then Jimmy Butler does what Jimmy Butler does. And, you know, that was a killer, you know, just giving them free throws and not getting to the free throw line. So I don't know what maybe is going on with the officiating, or if the Lakers just aren't, if there's something they're not doing to get the calls, but, you know, it's frustrating, especially Josh Hart. I feel like Josh Hart never gets calls, and he's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, so. It's unreal how – I mean, and then there were times, like, I specifically remember there being a block charge call that – I mean, on Jimmy Butler that, I mean, to me looked like he had gotten in position and just got bowled over, and it went against Hart. And it's like – it's a 50-50 call. I mean, most of the time they give the benefit of the doubt to the offensive player, but – just feels like all those 50-50 calls are going against the Lakers right now. Now, that being said, like you said, in no way is it the officials' fault that we can't defend the three-point line or rebound, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's how basketball goes sometimes. You know, it's a small sample size, so hopefully it's not something that becomes an issue throughout the course of the season. But, all right, we both agree that Ingram was far and away the biggest takeaway, or positive takeaway. I'm going to throw out another positive takeaway, and I'm going to shout out the play of JaVale McGee. I think JaVale has been really, really good with the Lakers, and especially defensively. Man, he, especially in that, I think it was the second quarter, Derrick Rose was having all kinds of problems getting to the rim because JaVale was sitting back there waiting for him. And JaVale ended up with two steals and three blocks tonight, but man, he altered a bunch of shots around the basket, and he was 6 of 8 from the field. You know, I mean, JaVale had a couple of turnovers that were just kind of boneheaded plays, it seemed like, but he's been fantastic. You know, his numbers tonight might not totally jump off the page at you. I mean, 13 points, 5 boards, like I said, 2 steals, 3 blocks. But, I mean, just his presence around the basket, both offensively and defensively, continue to be a positive for this team. And, yeah, I mean, as long as we can keep him healthy, that's going to be important, because he did get banged up a little bit tonight, but he was able to go back in the game and still played 30 minutes. It kind of worries me a little bit that he's having to play a lot of minutes with his asthma and everything. But he's been fantastic, so – I credit JaVale McGee. He's been really, really good. And Hani Amadian did not pay me to go on this little rant. I just
nobody believes you.
I just want to throw that out there. But Hani, I expect that check in the mail still. But
that sequence with Derrick Rose, it was like a couple play or couple like possessions in a row. I was beginning to wonder if Derrick Rose was insistent on winning JaVale Defensive Player of the Year, because it was just the same. He just kept driving right at him, and JaVale just kept blocking it. And, like, for some reason, I'm not even a Timberwolves fan, and Derrick Rose was frustrating me, because I tweeted jokingly about midway through the fourth that Derrick Rose was the Lakers MVP tonight. 16 shots. At the time, he was leading the Timberwolves in shot at, or field goal attempts, which should never be even remotely the case. But yeah.
Careful, man.
Yeah.
The Rose stands will come after you.
Yeah. But yeah, as for JaVale, I mean, not even Hani could have predicted that JaVale would be this good. Just this consistently. I mean, there's probably an argument he's one of our two or three most consistent guys this season. And he's been incredibly valuable so far this year.
Yeah, no, I've been very pleasantly surprised. I figured his play was going to be up and down, but he's been pretty much a perfect fit so far. So hopefully that that keeps up. So, all right, Jacob, what's your one most negative takeaway? I mean, I feel like there's still a lot to choose from, but what's the one that stands out the most to you?
trying to pick here. I mean, I guess probably the rebounding. I don't know. There was a lot to be frustrated with today. The Lakers gave up 20 offensive rebounds. Cat had 9 of them. It's just like, I know it's easy for me to say this sitting on at a desk in Indiana. It doesn't look like there's the efforts there. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the most frustrating thing to watch, is that it's a lot of guys, and this has been reiterated over and over, it's a lot of guys just not boxing out, just kind of walking towards the rim and trying to out-jump someone and grab a rebound. And I'm sure that the Lakers are preaching it, the coaching staff, that they need to box out. But, I mean, the message isn't getting through right now for whatever reason. And Cat had a field day today on the boards.
Yeah.
He only had 16, but it felt like 61.
It really did.
He was every offensive rebound, it felt like he was coming down with and going back up, and just – it was so frustrating to watch, because in a 4-point game, for them to get 20 offensive rebounds and 16 second chance points, that'll kill you. That's a backbreaker. And it's like I said, just the effort level not being there is just so frustrating to watch from this team, because it just feels like if they just put a little more effort into these games, the Lakers could easily be 5-2 instead of 2-5. We just had so many close games that are just like, you can look back on any sequence and say, if they would have tried harder on this, or if they would have defended this better, then maybe we win the game. But yeah, I mean, to me, just watching the team get out rebounded while not even looking like they cared at times was just the most frustrating thing for me.
Yeah, no, that it was so frustrating, because they were finally able to force some misses and some missed shots and just couldn't secure the rebounds. It just, that is just a killer. I mean, the Timberwolves shot 42.9% from the floor, 48% from three. That's not good. But 42% overall, I mean, you live with that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good, you know, defensive performance in terms of, you know, holding a team shooting percentage wise from the floor overall. But man, if you keep giving them 2 and 3 shots every time, they're going to score, you know? So, it's incredibly frustrating. And especially when it was mostly one guy, it seemed like doing all the damage. I mean, with the Lakers, it's just, you can't leave JaVale down there by himself to try and get all the rebounds. I mean, you know, I know the Lakers, they play small ball, you know, they kind of, you know, interchange guys and things like that. You got to gang rebound. You got to help. And I know they want to get out and run and leak guys out and stuff like that, but you got to secure the ball first before you can do that. So, you know, some guys have got to come down and help. I mean,
and not even, I don't mean to cut you off, but at times it's not even just that guys aren't coming down to help. It's just that they're standing around, and it's like, you got to put a body on someone.
Yeah.
It's just kind of basketball 101, because there's a sequence, trying to think, it would have been in the first half, where it was like 4 Lakers were standing around and Cat was the only one for the Timberwolves, and he grabbed like 2 offensive rebounds before scoring. And it was like, there was just a bunch of Lakers standing around hoping the ball bounced their way. And it's like, somebody has to just put a body on Cat, or put a body on Taj Gibson. Had a pretty big night rebounding, at least offensively. It's like, put a body on these guys, move them out of the way, and then Lonzo and Hart and Rondo can come through and get some of those rebounds. And it's the little things like that, I think, right now that are separating the Lakers from being, like I said, 2-5 or 5-2. I mean, and like I said, what's frustrating is that shouldn't be like a chemistry thing. Like, that should be a thing you do no matter what. And it's just a lot of those little things are piling up right now. And it's leading to these 4-point losses, 5-point losses, 3-point losses, whatever. So I think that's what's making it just so frustrating to watch right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing, I guess. I mean, and the Timberwolves did make some big shots. Jimmy Butler, especially, he was
That three problem. At the end was absurd.
And so, you know, you got to give credit to the Timberwolves. They did make some big plays, but man, it's just the game is so different if the Lakers don't just get it. Just, I mean, looking at the final rebounding numbers, it was fairly close, but it really didn't feel like it. It was the timely rebounds that the Timberwolves got that were just a backbreaker. But the takeaway that I'm taking away from tonight's game is just the late game execution continues to be a problem. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, Jacob, it's probably the difference between being 2-5 and 5-2. And we're having a whole different conversation right now if that's the case. So the late game execution is just, it's very frustrating because the Lakers keep getting in their own way. You know, the Spurs game, you know, LeBron misses 2 free throws and then Lonzo falls asleep on defense and lets Patty Mills get wide open. You know, the Spurs game the other night, I mean, Lakers control it throughout and then, you know, they're unable to get stops and they're unable to execute offensively. And then tonight, I mean, they're right there in the end and, you know, a big possession, LeBron tries to cross over and loses the ball and it's, you know, a backcourt violation. And then I think it's the very next trip. They're still down by 2. And LeBron spends a lot of time dribbling on the 3-point line and then throws it to Kuzma. The ball never got inside the 3-point line. And Kuzma, with the shot clock winding down, you know, goes up for a 3 and gets blocked. I would have liked to see him try and pump fake on that because he still had a few seconds. But they got to get something in those situations going towards the basket. You know, we saw it in the first Spurs game. With LeBron, I mean, the Lakers are down 1 and we settle for a step back jumper. I mean, it's a shot LeBron can definitely hit, but I mean, in those key situations, I'd like to see them draw something up to get them going downhill, going towards the basket and really making the defense have to react to something instead of going, you know, to these ISO plays and just making it easy on the defense where 4 guys can kind of just stand and spectate. And you just basically hope, you know, you beat your guy 1-on-1. I mean, with LeBron James, it's probably going to happen a fair amount of times, but you make the game harder than it needs to be in those situations. So, you know, just the late game blunders continue to be a problem. And, you know, I think that's really the big thing separating them is they're just not finishing games. You know, the defense has been a huge issue. I mean, they're giving up a ton of points, even though they're playing at, you know, a very fast pace. So that's going to happen probably, but I mean, I think tonight you hold them to 42.9% shooting. With this Lakers offense, you think that's enough to get it done. And, it, you know, it probably could have been if they're not, you know, fumbling the ball away, unforced errors and things like that, just not executing the way they need to down the stretch of games. 18 turnovers overall tonight. You know, we had talked in their 2 wins of how great the assist-to-turnover ratio was. And tonight, I mean, 24 assists, 18 turnovers. So a lot of errors, a very, very sloppy game for the Lakers. And it's frustrating, man. I'm not going to lie. It's very, very, very frustrating because this team, I feel like they are close. I feel like if they play even average defense, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Western Conference. But it just seems like they're so far away on that end right now. And even when they are able to get stops, it just seems like, you know, they go down the other end and they're unable to execute. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. It was frustrating. LeBron led the team in turnovers tonight.
Yeah.
It was weird. tonight, even more so. I know LeBron has kind of taken a backseat a little bit. A lot for that first half. LeBron just seemed to be like, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to say coasting. Like, he didn't hit a field goal until the second half or second quarter.
He missed a lot of layups.
I mean, that's been baffling. A thing all year, which is, baffling. And it was just like, and then that, I mean, you mentioned those two possessions down the stretch. The one, he just dribbles it off his foot. He's like sizing up Cat, about to make a move, and then dribbles the ball off his foot for a turnover. And then the other one, again, I mean, I don't know how much of it is Luke's fault and how much of it is just the players not running a play, but like that sequence that ended with Kuzma getting blocked, like nobody was moving. And like you can put as much blame on Luke as you want, but he can only tell the guys to do so much. Like the guys still have to go and do it, and you shouldn't have to tell the players to go out there and screen and move. Like, if you watch that play, it isn't until late in the shot clock that people kind of realize, oh crap, LeBron's not going to get a shot off from there, that they start moving. And that's when Kuzma gets open behind the arc, and then that all broke down. But it's just like, I tweeted something to the effect, like, there's a lot of people blaming Luke tonight. I think Luke should have some blame, but this is a collaborative effort, basically. Like, the players aren't performing like they should. Luke's not the one getting out rebounded offense or giving up 20 offensive rebounds or letting the Timberwolves shoot almost 50% from three. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of blame all around right now, but that's to be expected. This is a whole new team with a whole new rotation with a lot of players and a whole lot of roles that they're not used to. And it's seven. We're not even out of October yet. Like, just my big thing tonight was just, we'll figure it out. Just calm down. We're not even out of October and people are panicking, basically. I know that's what you talked about, and I know that's what we're going to talk about, but there's a lot of panic for seven games in October.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question. I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, how or where's your panic meter at with this team?
Probably, I mean, there are some concerning trends. I guess probably somewhere like a 5, maybe. I don't even want to say 6. Like, there's some things that are concerning about this team so far. Lonzo has looked, for the large part of this year, he hasn't looked great. I don't know if it's still him getting the rust off from not playing all summer. Really, kind of aside from that second half against Denver, he struggled a lot this year. Ingram and LeBron still seem like a bit of a clunky fit. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that are just kind of weird about this team right now. But on top of it only being 7 games, Rondo and Ingram have only been around for half of those games. So, like, the team is even further behind the 8-ball than they were otherwise. So I don't know. I think the most concerning thing right now is just how much fluctuation there is in the rotations. Which I mentioned. I mean, that is something, obviously, that Luke is at fault for. I didn't mean for – I tweeted this out, and it went south really quick, but the Lakers used 24 different 5-man lineups tonight.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of, like, context that's needed for that. It's, like I said, it's a new team. Ingram and Rondo are still trying to figure things out. And the offense was weird tonight. The defense has been bad. Like, it felt like Luke was just trying to figure out a lineup that worked. And he just couldn't find one. And so I think right now that's what's kind of keeping the Lakers from finding any consistency, is that there's just so many lineups that are being used, which is one thing. But, I mean, there's so many lineups being used because so many guys are struggling. Like, it's a chicken or the egg type of thing. Do you blame Luke for switching the lineups around so much, or do you blame the players for not performing well enough to warrant staying in lineup? So I guess overall right now it's like a 5, which I don't think it's going to rise up anymore in the foreseeable future, just because you have to have patience. Like, we spoke all summer about you have to be patient with this team, and then we're less than 10 games into the season and we're panicking.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of comments about the team looking out of sync, and I don't know if that's necessarily fair, because offensively, I mean, even though, you know, there are times they're not in sync, offensively, this team is really good. Like, I'm amazed at how far along they are offensively at this point, considering, you know, what they're incorporating. They're incorporating a whole new team, basically. I mean, they've got, you know, some of these young guys, which, and that's another thing. And I guess to answer my own question about the panic meter, mine's probably lower than yours. I guess I'd probably put it at like a 4 right now, maybe a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely not worried about this team yet. There are 75 games to go. I mean, like you just said, we preached all summer that it's going to take time. When LeBron went to Miami, they started 8-8 or 9-8. I think it was 9-8, but they might have been 8-8 going into that game at Cleveland, where it was LeBron's first game at Cleveland. And that was kind of their springboard game. Like, they kind of started to click after that. LeBron's first year back in Cleveland, you know, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, everybody thought they'd storm out of the gates. They started 5-7, you know, things turned out okay for them, you know, and I know the circumstances aren't the same. LeBron doesn't have the, you know, solidified superstars with him this time, but there is a lot of talent on this team. I still believe in Luke Walton. I know a lot of people already want him gone and this and that. I think he's a good coach. I think he's going to be around for a while. I don't think he's on the hot seat or anything, but I'm just not that worried about this team yet. You know, this is just what I expected. You know, it's the rotation thing. I get it's, you know, some of the decision-making there is a little confusing, but if you're Luke Walton, when the team doesn't play any defense, you got to try something. You got to try and find lineups that work. You got to mix and match, especially when you can do it early on in the season, when you've got a ton of time to figure this stuff out. Like, you got to figure, you know, you got to try and just figure it all out. And the way to do that is to just kind of try different things. You know, every coach in the league goes, you know, at times with a substitution or a lineup, you know, at a certain moment that you're like, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, every coach kind of goes through that, I think. And, you know, it is what it is. I saw a comment that's saying, you know, why is it taking the Lakers time when it's not taking Toronto time with Kawhi? I mean, Toronto has a lot more talent top to bottom on their roster than the Lakers do.
I was going to say the Raptors added 2 guys and kept a core. The Lakers added LeBron, JaVale, Rondo, and Lance. And just completely changed just like the dynamic of the team too.
Yeah, and like the style of play, I mean, kind of changed pretty, you know. I mean, the Lakers obviously tried to play fast and things like that, but you get LeBron, things are just going to change stylistically. And, yeah. You know, my thing too is, this team still relies heavily on the contributions of young players. Like, Lonzo was not good tonight, but I mean, Lonzo's a second year player. Brandon Ingram's 21 years old. Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, second year players. Like, you're going to have ups and downs with those guys. And Kuzma was very up and down tonight. First half was amazing. Was great. I'm knocking down shots, scoring every which way. We both made a joke that he was on pace to score about 100 points tonight because he was just lighting it up. And then the second half came and he kind of went cold and wasn't able to make shots. And, you know, with young players, it's going to take time. It's just, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, if it's not the answer people want to hear, but with a combination of relying heavily on young players, especially in your starting lineup, plus incorporating, you know, a superstar into a team that's never played with one, and with a coach that's never had one. I mean, he had did with the Warriors, but you know, that's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot easier to coach.
Yeah,
for Hall of Famers.
And you know, like I said, we're 7 games in, guys. There are 75 games left. Like, are we really? I mean, I literally saw people saying that the Lakers should blow it up and they should trade LeBron, get first round picks, and tank for next year. Try and get Zion, which I'm sure would make you happy, Jacob.
Yeah, but no, actually, I'm fine with that. I like these thoughts.
But I mean, like, I'm so tempted to just keep all these receipts, man, and come back in game 60 when the Lakers have stuff, you know, figured out and are hopefully playing well and they're, you know, in the playoff hunt. Like, my thing is, they've had a pretty brutal schedule to start out. I mean, I think other than the Phoenix game, they've played they've played playoff teams from last year, like Portland, San Antonio twice.
Well, Denver technically wasn't, but yeah.
Yeah, Denver technically wasn't, although they were, what, one game out?
Yeah.
I mean, they were a playoff caliber team. So, I mean, San Antonio twice, at Portland, Minnesota. Like, they've played good teams, and they've been in every single one of these games. Like, a couple plays in each game, and you know, they're all wins. So, you know, it's not happening yet. And it's funny because LeBron is averaging like 28 or like 20, I think it's like 28, 9 and 8, something like that. Like almost a 30 point triple double on average. And I mean, it doesn't seem like he's been himself yet. Like that's the crazy thing to me. It seems like he's kind of coasting half the time.
I tweeted during the game, like you said, that it felt like he was coasting, which isn't like, again, I don't want that to sound like a bad thing. It was just, I mean, you mentioned his, when he was in Cleveland and Miami, that there's like a feeling out process with him. And it just seems like he's feeling out some of the young guys right now. And we're talking about him coasting, and he had 29, 10, and 8. I'll take that coasting effort every day of the week. But, yeah, it's just – it's weird right now with this team. You mentioned the offense. They are 7th in offensive rating at 113.0. But, yeah, the defense is 23rd at 113.2. They have a negative 0.2 net rating right now, which – feels about right that defense is actually a little better than I thought it might be. But another interesting note, I mean, they're 5th in the league in pace, and that's even after tonight. The pace was only 93.37, where the Lakers usually average 106.
Yeah.
And Minnesota typically is a team that wants to run. So it was just kind of a weird game in that regard too. I'm not really sure. Tonight's just such a weird game, but then again, that's what every game has felt like with this team. It's a struggle right now, and the problem is, I want to say that it'll get better, but like the immediate future is not pretty right now. Like I think they go to Portland and play Toronto in their next 2 games. So this doom and gloom is only going to continue. But I mean, all I can say right now is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like this team, they actually play Dallas on Wednesday. So they do have a bit of a breather. Dallas isn't really a playoff team, although they've been playing well this year. I mean, the main thing that, like I said, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long season still, and we're not even a tenth of the way into it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the regular season ends in mid-April. We haven't even made it to November. Like, And another thing too, on top of the schedule point, and how tough the schedule's been, the Lakers have also only been at full strength for what, two full games?
Yeah.
Well, at Portland.
The first game tonight. Yeah. I mean, the majority of the Houston game, I guess, but yeah.
And that was a close game. And then they lose Ingram and Rondo and they kind of went all downhill after that, but.
And Harden went bonkers down the stretch.
Yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, like they haven't had a couple, you know, key guys in their rotation and on top of a tough schedule and they're still being, you know, very, very competitive. Should have won the San Antonio game. Really, I mean, honestly, should have won both San Antonio games. Very easily could have won tonight. The Portland game, you know, a couple plays here and there. Who knows? You know, it's – I get it. Like, it's frustrating, but it's just – it's not enough for me to just think the season is over. And I get that, you know, we're tired of seeing the losses. It's been a tough 5 years for the Lakers. But I just I truly believe that the wins are going to start racking up. You know, I don't know where the Lakers are going to finish in the West. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but the wins are going to start to come. And, you know, looking at their upcoming schedule, we mentioned they play Dallas on Wednesday at home. That'll be a telling game. If they come out and they take care of business in that game, I feel like people will calm down a little bit. And there's, you know, a couple tough games still coming up, you know, at Portland and then Toronto the next night at home and then Minnesota at home. But then you get, you know, at Sacramento, you get the Hawks, you get Portland at home, you play the Magic, you play the Heat, you play the Cavs. You know, so some easier games are on the horizon. And I think, you know, that's going to be the really the big test for the Lakers. Cause I think they can, I mean, I think they can hang with anybody. I mean, unless they play like the Warriors tonight, cause Klay Thompson was freaking supernova tonight with 14.
Thank God we're not playing them right now.
They had 92 points in the first half. But I mean, I think we both just agree on the point that it's way too early to start panicking and the schedule's been tough. They haven't been at full strength most of these games. There's a lot of roster turnover. There's going to be an adjustment period. Like 75 games to go. Like, let's at least get to 2019 before we panic. If the Lakers are way under 500 going into 2019, yeah, you can probably start to freak out a little bit. But I'm sorry, I'm just not panicking 7 games into the season.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, just looking at the schedule, the next 3 of the next 4 games are rough. That Portland, Toronto, Minnesota stretch is rough, but really after that, through the end of November, it lightens up considerably. And I think that's a time where the problem right now is the Lakers are trying to feel themselves out while also playing playoff caliber teams. And that's not an equation that typically lends itself to wins. The fact that they've been close in some of these games is a little, honestly, kind of surprising, especially considering the caliber of opponent they're playing. But it's a lot easier to kind of figure things out when you're playing the Kings, the Hawks, the Magic, even the Heat. The Cavs are a dumpster fire right now. They get the Magic again. They get Dallas again at the end of the month. Like, there's going to be stretches here where they can kind of start figuring things out. It's just right now it's a mixture of really good team or really good opponents, I should say, and this team kind of struggling to find its identity, which isn't unexpected. It's just in the West, it's just kind of brutal. If you don't have your identity, these teams, I mean, just – it's not even just that we're playing playoff teams. It's playoff teams that return just like their whole nucleus from last year.
Yeah, like Minnesota. Teams that have continuity.
Minnesota lost nobody. And they added a rookie that looks like he's going to be a stud. And same with Portland. They lost nobody. Houston lost nobody. Well, for the most part. And San Antonio, I mean, they swap a year of Kawhi, who didn't even play, for DeRozan. And it's stuff like this where, like, You're playing against these teams that have really good cores and they know their identity. It's going to be a struggle even if you're at full strength. And it's like this team hasn't been at full strength, haven't figured out their identity yet. Like they want to be a team that runs nonstop, but like I said, it was a pace of 93.37. Like that's a team that's still trying to figure out its identity. If you have your identity, you know how to run in every game, which is what the Lakers are going to want to do. So it's stuff like that where, like, this is a long process. I have full faith we'll get there. We still have LeBron James. Luke Walton is still the coach that took this team to 35 wins last year when nobody – like, that was unanimously everybody thought that was overachieving. This is still the same 2017 draft class that was incredible. And this is still Brandon Ingram, who looked like a budding superstar in the preseason. Like, all these things are still here. It's just they're trying to figure out how to play with one another. And it's a process, but it's one that's going to have some bumps in the road for the present and for probably the near future. But there's plenty of reasons to feel optimistic moving forward. This offense is incredible. The defense has a lot of work, but the pieces are there, and you've kind of seen some flashes. So I'm not worried, but I still think this team will get it figured out. It's not going to be a quick process.
Yeah. I mean, and they've got their flaws. I mean, we're not saying that they're going to be a perfect team. I mean, the center rotation is very thin. And defensively, I mean, the ceiling, I feel like, for this team is average at best, which I think as good as they are offensively, that'll be enough to win a lot of games. But, I mean, just a little context here, how close these losses have been. So they have 5 losses on the year by an average of 5.4 points. I mean, that's 2 possessions.
Yeah,
that's how close this team is against good teams, and good teams that, like you said, Jacob, brought back their cores from last year. So, you know, I don't know if this team was getting, for me, it's like if they were getting crushed on a nightly basis, they were losing by 15, 20 points, I'd be a little concerned. I would already be concerned, but they're competitive. They're in these games. Eventually these wins are going to start to come. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I think as long as this team stays healthy, the wins are going to start to come. I truly believe that, and I'm going to stick by that. And I might even be keeping receipts. So,
I am.
Watch
it. I'm not even going to be ambiguous about it. I am keeping receipts. Like, it's 7 games. I started in the preseason keeping receipts from people telling me how the Lakers weren't going to make the playoffs. So, I have full faith that this team is still a playoff team.
Yep, you and me both. So basically the bottom line for us is let's try not to panic, please. Like, God. And for a little context, I mean, if, you know, we're talking playoffs, the 8th seed in the West right now is 3-2. So, I mean, the Lakers are what, 2 games behind that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on, guys. Like, let's just relax.
Yeah, this is it's not like somebody, like, teams are just running away with it. Like, everybody's struggling in the West. The West is crazy good. The Timberwolves just got blown out by the Bucks before this. Like, every team has their flaws. So, it's a long season for everybody.
I'm just going to throw this out there one more time before we sign off. When LeBron went to Miami, they started 9-8 with 3 future Hall of Famers in their primes. Everybody freaked out, said that they don't have it. You know, it's not going to work. One basketball, all that stuff. I think they turned out okay.
Yeah.
LeBron goes to Cleveland with Kyrie and Kevin Love. They start 5-7. Everybody's freaking out. Oh, he shouldn't have left Miami. They won a championship. They made the finals every year with that core. Like, relax. It's 7 games. Like, it is going to take time. I know, like, people hate hearing that answer, but we've seen it. Like, there's concrete evidence in the past that it takes time. you know, the Lakers didn't go add three All-Stars. They added one to a group of young players. You know, it's you can't expect overnight success with that. But, I mean, I expect them to be successful this season. It's just not in the first seven games against a brutal schedule when you've got two key players out.
If you expected them, this team to come flying out of the gate, that's on you. That's not on this team. Nobody indicated. There should be no reason that you should have believed that. So, if you thought this team was just going to come out and go 6-1 to start the year or something, like that was entirely on you. We just spent the whole off season saying it's going to take time. We were saying it's like a multi-year process, not even like a within one season. And then we get seven games in and it's like, oh man, this is horrible. We got to burn it down. And it's like, did we forget what we said for 6 months or 3 months, 4 months in the off season?
Apparently. Maybe that's how it's going to be all year. The Lakers lose. The sky is falling. Trade everybody. This team doesn't, they're not going to be able to figure it out. And when they win, everything's great, you know? So
I missed competitive basketball from the Lakers. I did not miss the reactions to losses from a competitive basketball team from the Lakers.
You and me both, brother. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. This was a nice little therapy session. Get a little stuff off our chest and rant a little bit. 82 games, everybody. That's all I'm going to say. 82 games. Long season. Plenty of basketball to go. We'll be all right. All right. Well, like I mentioned at the start of the podcast, if you like the pod, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes and on Podbean. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. And we are leaving it in the hands of you guys to determine the punishment of the member of the Lakers Outsiders that has the worst record tweeting during games. I just dropped to 1-1 tonight. Shout out to the Lakers. Bahani is still winless. Jacob is 1-0. Dylan is 0-1. So we'll have to try and get the number of games even. Jacob's probably just going to call it a season. Tweeting.
Oh yeah, I'm done. Undefeated. Retired on top.
But yeah, you can leave a suggested punishment in an iTunes review and we will definitely take note of it. So as always, you can find the pod there. You can find it also on LakersOutsiders.com where all of our content is. Twitter, you can follow us there. Instagram, like us on Facebook, all that fun stuff. That's going to do it for us this time. We will see you guys on Wednesday, hopefully with more positive vibes, hopefully with a win over the Mavericks. But time will tell. Time will tell. Let's hang in there and let's take it one game at a time. So for Jacob Rood, I am Gary Kester. Until next time, signing off.
Jimmy Jettler.